episode 192 of your Overseas Connection, the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That is gaming for the elderly, and today is October 30th, 2012. And yes, we are the podcast where we don't go on for 40 minutes and realize we haven't started recording.
Zing.
I'm your host, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law. You just heard co-host Mike Chin.
Hello.
That was timely with the zing, Mike. Timely with the zing.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly. Also with this co-hosting, Richard Primrose.
Yo, live and direct from a Bedouin tent. Tis I.
Yes, Rich making special efforts to minimize some background echo. We appreciate that, Rich. We do.
Yes, dining room cloth over my head.
Yes.
Stupid, but effective.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do, right?
Damn rootin' tootin'.
And joining us, staying dry for now, Mr. Christopher Matthew.
High and dry on the second floor of my temporary home, which is also on a large hill near a large river. So we're okay. Trees falling down around us, but the show must go on.
It would all. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's not Bunker Hill, but I mean that would be awesome just to say you were on Bunker Hill.
Yeah, not on Bunker Hill.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, it's good to be back, guys.
Yeah.
Nice job last week on the podcast.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
No, you heard that?
I listened to the whole thing. It was good. I appreciated the shout out at the end, Mike. That was especially nice.
I can't remember what I did.
It's something like, fuck you for not making
it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Yeah. No. Every once in a while, I do have to do some work stuff. And, I was out in Chicago. And wasn't able to do my over-controlling call-in and make sure everything's going okay with the podcast every 5 minutes.
Are you fucking it up, Mike? Are you fucking it up? Which is basically what he's like.
I know. It all turned out good with the exception of, like, that advertisement you put on the front of the show, Mike.
Don't put that on me.
Now, we'll talk about that a little later on. For now, let's talk about what we've been playing.
What you been playing? What have you been playing?
All right. So I believe Rich and I both were not on the podcast last week. So, Rich, why don't you fire it up first?
I've been playing more Dishonored. That's my largest chunk of gaming, really. Yeah, I'm still enjoying it. I think I'm getting fairly near the end. There's been a twist in the tail and all of that, and I think people have spoke about that, and I'm not going to spoil it. Getting a lot more stuff now. I hit a certain level, and I just racked up loads of money, and by the time I got back to my man, who deals out the technology, I was minted. So, yeah, done a load of upgrading and stuff, and still on the rune hunt. Liking the rune hunt. Very good. Yeah, that's been good. I've also been playing, and it's not written down here, the Minecraft again. Back on the Minecraft.
Back on the Minecraft.
Gates set up basically world number 3.
Okay.
And it's took full advantage of the creative mode, which has been added to the upgrade by 4J or whatever they're called again. So creative mode, basically what you've got is you now have infinite assets to use. So you've got every single thing that's available to you in the game. You don't have to go mining for it. You can just use it, which is excellent. Because the way that they've done it, you can also fly as well.
Okay.
So you don't have to worry about, if you're doing a large structure, you can just float around in the air and carry on building. And you can also do double time sprinting, which is very good fun. I've been enjoying that. So what they've done with the world this time is basically they've designed a grid out of a whole world. And they've done that by And I don't know who's done it. I think it's probably got something to do with Mark Hammocks and passing it. But they've drawn a grid of plots, about 56 of them. So people go in and they can claim a plot. And once you get your plot, that's where you're going to build. They've reserved four plots in the centre. And this is going to be a city square. And I think what they're doing is like various projects where everybody just joins in and builds something. I think there's already been pictures posted of possible projects, and they're on about doing a town hall and so on. So all I've been doing, because it's still got the contours and everything that you'd normally have in a world, but it's just got a path running through it as a grid, I've had to clear all of mine because I want to make it flat. And that's been taking some time. But I've now got an infinite supply of dynamite. And because I never got gunpowder when I was actually, you know, because you have to kill zombies and stuff to get gunpowder.
Obviously.
Yeah. So.
Come on, Greg, don't you know that?
I've been playing with the dynamite. Yeah, and that's great fun. So you just basically lay out a grid of that, and it's blocks were hay.
Yeah. Now, Rich, can I ask you a question? Does everybody have infinite dynamite in the game now, or is it just you?
Everybody. Everybody. Anybody that's in there can.
I see shenanigans.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
But very strict. You've got to watch it, because if you step out of line, you'll have a parsnip to deal with. Yeah. There's various messages floating around on Xbox Live, and just you stay within your plot, or else.
The sheriff will be coming.
Yeah.
He's the sheriff, isn't he? He's
got to keep order.
Another thing as well is my son's now madly into Minecraft, and I've installed it on his Xbox, but it's through my account. And I'm struggling to get time to play on Minecraft because he's basically taken over. Now, he's got his own little world.
Rich, simple solution.
Yeah? What?
Ground your son.
Well, I was going to say sell your son.
He'll be on it more.
I was going to say sell him.
Oh, yeah, ground him without any Xbox privileges. Make up some excuse. You know, over the weekend, you got to time it right.
I got a better solution.
Grounded.
Turn
grounded
son into a drug dealer. He gets a job, an income, and he's out of the house.
Or there's Mike's option.
Yeah.
Not a bad plan. Yeah, so I've set him up with his own world and everything. But it seems that my addiction to Minecraft has rubbed off on him, because he won't play it on Mondays. And there's a reason for that. Because he thinks that whatever game he's in or whatever world, there's going to be zombies there. Because they have Monster Mondays, don't they, for gaming for the elderly. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, they do say the parent does pass the addiction down to the child.
Yeah, definitely. And I have been getting some bad glances for letting him play it for too long. But, yeah. Hey.
There's worse things he could be playing, right?
There's worse things he could be addicted to.
Also true.
Had a family visit at weekend, and
I didn't know this was the family. What the family have been up to?
It did. Well, this is another one that just turned into me getting back into a game because somebody else is mad on it. I was playing Forza 4 again, which is quite cool. So my nephew came, and he basically helped himself to some of my Microsoft points just so he could show me the Ford Transit van, which you can buy, and we was racing transit vans, so that was quite good fun. I've also picked up, because I've been listening to Stu on the Veteran Gamers, this super hexagon phenomenon.
Oh, yeah.
He keeps going on about.
He does love that.
Oh, God, it's so bloody annoying, that game.
Second score.
Yeah, well, I've heard when you do bang it out, it does happen very quickly, so. And I tried that game that you tried as well, Mr. Chin.
Which one?
The Zombie Driver. Zombie Driver, the one that you hated.
Yeah. I wasn't a big fan of it either.
Yeah. I've got to throw in a difference of opinion, because I know there's another game that all of you guys hated called Burnout Crash. No, Burnout Crash. Remember that one?
Remember that one.
I didn't hate it.
Crash, I thought it had more redeeming quality than Zombie.
I don't think I'll give that a fair crack, in unfairness to my judgment. I think I judged it a little bit too quickly.
Yeah, I didn't purchase it like the old Burnout Crash, which I got immediately. But I did think it had its redeeming features. I don't know if that's because I'm into me old school Spy Hunter type games and stuff like that.
You need to play Retro City Rampage, man. That's what you need to play.
Retro City. That's the thing, isn't it? Yeah, in that PlayStation game.
It's the new. It's like the retro GTA.
I think it's coming to Xbox Live Arcade though.
Is it?
Yeah.
I may well try it when it comes out on that. So I tried that, and I think if anybody's into that sort of game, it's worth giving it a crack. But I can understand why a lot of people don't like it. So fair enough. Then I had a go at Happy Wars. That free game.
Yeah.
All I'm going to say about that is I think it's like a kiddie's version of League of Legends, but completely simplified down, and not even my son got interested in it, and he loves Castle Crashers and stuff.
Not a good sign.
That was a bit worrying.
I was not overly thrilled with it myself when I played it. I played it back on the beta, and it was just kind of like, you know, I appreciated the fact that it was free.
Yeah.
And I suppose it could be fun with a big group of people, but there was nothing that, you know, there was no hook to it that made me say, gosh, I want to play this again. It felt a little too hectic, a little too chaotic. And I mean, in so many ways, it also kind of reminds me of Fat Princess, from the PS3, just in that you kind of had that team mentality, but there's not really a real team mentality. I mean, you're on the same side. You've got, you know, 16-on-16 for Happy Wars, but it's like, I don't know. There doesn't seem to be a true sense of, I don't know, direction or flow. Even, I mean, there is, but I don't know.
There's no I in team.
Yeah. It just didn't. It didn't grab me.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like it didn't grab you either, Rich.
No, not really.
Okay, it happened. Yeah.
Then we moved on to, well, my daughter's mad on YouTube, and she got up that Gangnam Style, or whatever it's called. Silly Korean, the Korean song.
Yeah, I might have heard of it.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. She got all that up on YouTube, and all the kids were dancing to that in the living room. So they got me dancing along to that, and then they managed to rope me into playing Dance Central 2.
And it's so, up there.
I was playing that. Explain that. And then I actually did probably a very heinous thing. I went and bought a track for Dance Central off Xbox Live.
Was it Gundam Style?
No, it wasn't, because that's not out. It's too new. We went and got LMFIO or AO or whatever they're called again.
FAO, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That Party Rocking in the house tonight.
Party Rocking.
Yeah, so just to let you know that the
I'm in Miami, bitch.
That's the one. But it didn't have swearing in it.
No, that's a different song.
It's a different song, yeah. So just to let you know that the Kinect doesn't track very well when you're standing on your sofa dancing. Don't work.
Right.
Yeah, I would have guessed that.
I don't think they
tested
for that, to be honest.
No.
Okay.
Well, they should have.
Excellent.
Next generation. Job done.
All right. Well, I guess I will go next. And I'm going to recap real fast. I know you guys talked about Extra Life last week, but I haven't had a chance to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. Well done, Greg. Well done.
Extra Life survived it.
That's a lot of money, isn't it? That's a lot of money that you raised, you and the crew.
You know, I was so happy with just the entire team. It was, you know, compared to the year before, we just blew our goal out of the water.
Blitzed it.
We ended up raising a total of $7,719.43. Where the 43 cents came from, I have no clue, by the way.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Mike. So that's out there.
Too generous.
That was the microtransactions that Duke always goes on about. You know, when there's like minor percentages of pence and cents just being skimmed off the top all the time. That's what happened there.
That's how they get you, mate.
But we had a huge turnout, and Extra Life itself raised over $2 million.
And
so,
where did we get to in the kind of leaderboards of how great donors we are?
That's a great question. I honestly don't know.
I think you guys. I say we. You guys were up there.
Pretty. Yeah, we were up there.
I was giving Giant Bomb some right stick.
Yeah, I was Twitter. Too, and then they kicked our asses thoroughly. they were holding back. Well, for leading up to like the last 2 days before the event took place, we took the lead. We passed Giant Bomb for donations given, and they had 47 people on their team, and it was just 14 of us. So we were all pretty stoked. We were feeling good about it. So kicking Giant Bomb's ass. And then suddenly all of their actual like sponsored donors came in, and they quickly eclipsed like 13,000 or something like that in a nanosecond. But what are you gonna do? But I'm pretty sure we were in I want to say like the top 50. I don't remember. Yeah, I mean, considering there were over 2,000 teams, it was actually really good. And most of the teams that were in and near us, I mean, like, you know, we're talking about actual, you know, game studios, that kind of thing, like Respawn Entertainment. I think we were actually we'd passed them. And again, I don't know where the final totals came out in terms of where we wound up at, but you know what? I was just happier than heck that, you know, $7,000. Who would have thought? We were happy. We were, you know, hoping to get to 3,000. So that just puts it all in perspective right there.
Yeah, yeah.
So during Extra Life, I did, you know, played some Madden 13 and just continue to realize how bad I am at Madden 13. But I love my football, so I keep playing it. XCOM Enemy Unknown, even though I knew it was a game that potentially could be dangerous in the wee hours of the morning, I played the crap out of that game. That was probably my most played game over the course of the 24 hours.
Really?
Yeah. Battlefield 3, got some time in on that. Had a lot of fun with some of the community there. And then I made the mistake, and this was probably, I don't know, it was probably about 20 hours into my marathon, I decided to play Walking Dead Episode 3. Now, I'm not going to give any spoilers away.
Did you fall asleep?
No.
I fell asleep playing that before.
It has kind of...
I'm not surprised, mate, to be honest.
There's a... Yeah, Rich, you saying that is not shocking. But there's a potential emotional moment in that game. And let me just tell you, it completely hit me. And I was just like, I cannot believe this game. It's like evoking emotion out of me. And of course, now I realize in retrospect, sleep deprived probably didn't help the situation at all.
This
game. Walking Dead Episode 3, though, huge, huge fan of it. Really enjoyed it and cannot wait to play Episode 4. I downloaded it. I just need to get on it. Caught up with the Halo Forward Unto Dawn Episode 4.
How can you do that? That's not playing a game. Hold on a minute. Steward's Inquiry.
Excuse me. That was not part of Extra Life. That was just me catching up on that. Calm down. That came out this past Friday. But getting back to Extra Life, one thing I do have to do, guys, we have a little drawing.
A drawing?
Yes. I had, you know, basically put out there that if you put in at least $20, you got a ticket into a drawing for
sweet.
$60 Amazon card. Yeah. So I've got names all in, and you can hear them rustling around.
Oh, you've done it. This is all prepared and stuff. Well done. Great.
This is all prepared. Real time. And here we go. The winner for the $60 card is...
This is exciting.
Kevin Knight.
Ah, well done, Kev.
Yeah, there we go. Kevin Knight. $60 Amazon card. I'll make it in the old British pounds for you, and I'll get in touch with you. But, well done, Kevin. And thank you. A big thank you to everybody that donated. I mean, again, it was just such an awesome turnout. Beyond Extra Life. Beyond Extra Life, I installed Windows 8 on my PC.
Oh, yeah? How'd that go?
I was running Vista. I hated Vista.
Why were you still on Vista?
Because I didn't want to pay to upgrade to Windows 7 because it was still pretty expensive and I was just being a cheap bastard. And then Windows 8 came out and they said, hey, we'll let you upgrade for basically $40. I was like, okay. And then they said, well, there may be some issues with, basically, everything. Some of the programs or whatever. Yeah. And you may have issues. And so if you do have issues, then, you're just going to have to reinstall programs. You're going to have to handle, in a sense, kind of everything on your installed programs are basically going to get wiped and you're going to have to start from scratch. And I was like, you know what? That's fine. I can deal with that. I know what programs I really want on my computer. No big deal. But I guess I missed, I didn't think to really check on was hardware conflicts.
Okay.
Issues. And apparently my Ethernet adapter on my PC needed to have the drivers updated before I upgraded Windows 8. They weren't supported. Needless to say, once I put Windows 8 onto that PC, literally could not connect to the internet at all. It wouldn't even recognize that the Ethernet port had a cable plugged into it. It was like, nope, there's nothing in there. Check your cable. It's unplugged. So after about 2 hours of extreme frustration, I threw the towel in and said, I will get a nerdier nerd than I am to look at my computer and fix this issue.
That's always the best way.
Yeah. And so, yeah, my PC is it actually will be coming back to me today. It'll all be all healthy, running a better operating system than Vista, and I will be a happier person for it.
Well, that's why I'm recording the show.
Yeah. But the last game I did want to talk about, because I know Chris is going to talk about XCOM, so I'll leave that to him. But it's Fable the Journey.
Mike, ooh, dear.
We're laughing a little bit because Gamefly was sending it to me, and I was kind of like, yeah, what do you wish for? But
oh, yeah. I sent you that text, didn't I?
Yep. So I fired it up today just to get a sense. And
Don't even bother. Don't pull a Stuart Fowler.
Not pulling a Stuart Fowler.
He's already done it once this year.
No.
It's not that bad.
No, what's sad is that I think the story and the characters, the voice acting is all actually really good.
Mm-hmm.
And this game just won't get experienced by probably the vast majority of Fable fans because it's, it has to be on Kinect. And, and I don't think the saturation level for Kinect and Fable fans is probably that high.
No.
So what I've experienced so far of Fable, the Journey, is literally really the intro. They have kind of this long, drawn-out intro, and then you get to the part that was on the demo.
Right.
I just got to the part that was on the demo, and literally it took me a good half hour to get to that part. Very story-driven, a lot of cutscenes to it. I don't care what Peter Molyneux said in the past, this game absolutely is on rails in that regard.
Huh.
You're in perpetual motion forward. If you're in the horse and carriage, yes, you can take side pit stops and venture off the beaten path, so to speak, but you can turn around and go back. It's not like, you are always going forward and you can stop and then it'll load up a side mission, but it's not like you wander into a new area.
Mm.
Again, for a Kinect game, I think the controls are really good for a Kinect game. And I will keep those, quotes there because, let's face it, compared to a gamepad game, no, I think, a gamepad game would be far more precise.
Are you using air quotes over the internet when people can't see you, Greg?
Yes, I did use air quotes over the internet. Thank you for pointing that out. What I did appreciate, though, I have to admit, was being able to eat a sandwich and not gunk up my controller while I played the game. That was kind of nice.
Nice.
That's my praise for Fable the Journey so far. But, I'll report on more of it next week. I'm intrigued enough so far that I'll continue to play it and not encountering any issues. The horse controls all work well. But again, I think it's working well because I'm paying attention to the, you know, getting the perfect setup, which is, it appears any of these games where you're sitting down, you need to have kind of a high back chair. You can't be on a soft sofa where your knees are kind of going up higher than maybe your lap might be, because then, you know, Kinect starts having issues recognizing your knees versus your hands. So I have a chair that's a high back chair that's, you know, it wouldn't be a long-term comfortable chair to play this on. But so far, the controls have worked brilliantly with the chair being in that perfect, you know, just far enough away from the camera. That
perfect upright position.
Yeah. And that's probably, you know, again, this is one of the big downfalls for Kinect, is it really isn't able to adapt to different surroundings and settings. It seems like in order for Kinect to work properly, you have to adapt your surroundings and your settings. And that just, I don't think is a good thing for any kind of product. I think that, you know, a camera product like that really needs to be able to adapt to your surroundings, not the reverse. But anyway, so enough about that. All right, Mr. Matthew, let's move over to you and talk XCOM.
So before I talk XCOM, I played two games this week.
Okay.
First one was Skyrim. Not going to talk very long about that because it's old, but I thought
old.
I'd fire. But yeah. But I have been playing a lot of XCOM, and I finally finished my first, I suppose, game, if you will. I don't like to say playthrough because it's more like a Civilization game where it's meant to be played over and over again.
Okay.
But anyway, I finished the story, air quotes that you can't see.
Right.
It was good. It was, you know, kind of kept the spirit of the original, not quite as cheesy at the end, but, yeah, it was cool. The very last mission, I kind of got surprised. Well, I shouldn't say the very last mission, the very last room of the very last mission, I kind of got housed. But what they do is, You have one certain soldier that has to stay alive, and if that soldier dies, they force you to reload a previous save.
Ooh, okay.
That's what I did.
Interesting.
Yeah, but it was good. I enjoyed it. I managed to get through the campaign, only losing 5 soldiers.
That amazes me because I think I'm up to like, I don't know, 15 dead so far.
Well, I'm one of them.
Yes. Oh, you all are dead. I just want to point that out.
Huh. Yeah.
I even gave up on bringing you guys back to life because you guys died so many more times.
in the early going, in the first few missions of the playthrough, I got housed one mission because I just did some really dumb things. So I reloaded a save, and that allowed me to get a pretty boss squad early on of, you know, a lot of veteran soldiers.
Okay.
And so that really helped keep them alive, so to speak. So I started a new playthrough, and I enabled Iron Man mode, which basically means no reloading saves. You get what you get.
Right.
So let's see how that goes.
Yeah. It.
I also bumped it up to classic difficulty, although I'm not exactly certain what that changes.
It could be tough. From what I understand, that's going to make your life difficult. Yeah, in my playthrough... one of the things I've been trying to do is continually get my squad to be at least 15 deep with you know, kind of all of them being experienced. And what I find is I end up getting, you know, 3 or 4 veterans on the squad, then I have 2 squabbies on there, and they just get – half the time they're getting housed. I mean, they're on the field for all of like 2 minutes and – they're taking a bullet, and it's, I think based on that, we kind of where I'm at in the campaign as well, the difficulty is just ramping up so much that I don't know that I'm going to be able to keep that kind of strategy going. I'm probably gonna have to start, instead of, trying to pull in rookies, maybe utilize some of my, you know, the armored vehicle. I can't remember what it's called. The Shiv.
I did. Whenever I was trying to get soldiers that hadn't been on missions before experience, I would use two of those tanks, and those would become the scouts.
Right.
So they would go find the bad guys, and then I could shoot them, you know, with the other, with the less experienced soldiers.
Okay. Now, so,
how many hours have you put into it, Crash Dragon?
I bet it took 15 or 20 to get through the first playthrough.
Okay.
Not too bad.
Now, you said you've, you know, kind of redone and gone for the Iron Man mode, classic difficulty. Have you played any of that yet, or is it just you kind of set it up and you...
I'm on the third mission.
Okay.
It's a little harder. I've already lost... Well, I lost two soldiers out of four on the last mission that I did. So I managed to get through the very first mission. The nice thing about playing it a second time is you can skip the tutorial.
Right, right.
Because in the tutorial, you're forced to have three soldiers die.
Right.
You can skip the tutorial. So I actually managed to get through the first mission without losing any. But then on the second mission, I proceeded to lose two out of the four.
Yeah.
So let's see how the third mission goes. Although now, two out of the four were rookies because the other guys were injured during the first mission. So.
Now, out of curiosity, I guess, well, two questions for you. One, when you lost those two, did you lose them early on in the mission, or was it towards the end of the mission?
It was towards the end of the mission.
Okay. It's one of those things where, I mean, at least for me, I've had a couple of missions where I've lost two soldiers in it. I had one mission where I lost three soldiers in it, and I was gripping towards the end of that mission just because I honestly didn't know if I would, you know, make it out with the remaining three.
Yeah. Well, I kind of was annoyed because I lost the two from a stupid mistake on my own part. I left them sitting next to a burning vehicle, and the vehicle exploded and killed them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds brutal.
It's got its challenges. But the whole point of it is, it's you're supposed to lose soldiers. That's just kind of what happens.
Yeah, I think we definitely have to try some multiplayer, Chris.
You know, okay. If you have
some fun with it.
I'm really not that interested, to tell you the truth. But okay.
It's like chess. Do you like chess?
Not really.
Okay. Checkers. Go fish.
No.
All right.
You tried, Greg. You tried.
I know. Chris, anything else?
No, that's it.
All right, excellent. Mike, let's...
Hello.
You've been playing.
I've been playing... I finished Azura's Wrath.
I'm sorry?
I finished Azura's Wrath.
No, I am sorry you had to play that game.
I am also sorry. Very funny. So that game sucks balls. Stu tried to convince me that, no, don't you think it's good that... And my conclusion of the game is that... I'm being a bit harsh on it for comic effect, Greg. It wasn't that bad. But it relies on a lot of what you're seeing rather than what you're doing.
Okay.
It's more like an anime than a game.
Interesting. Okay.
It feels like it's an anime cartoon with bits of game in the middle, and the cutscenes are very like over the top. There's one point where there is like some sort of huge figure, bigger than the Earth, standing next to the Earth, as he pushes a finger on top of you, and the finger's like the size of a mountain. Yeah. So it's over the top and ridiculous, but it's just basically punch, 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 cuts, quick time event, punch, 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 quick time event, punch, quick time event. That's it. That's the whole game. And then a lot of cutscenes in between.
Are they at least good?
Well, they're entertaining, but I can't connect with a story where 1 minute you're in space, no helmet, by the way, fighting with other gods. Already you've lost me because it's just too stupid. And then the next minute you're in a jacuzzi with a person that A, taught you everything you know, and also B, had a fight with you and hated you. Now you're sharing a jacuzzi with them, with lots of scantily clad women with bouncy boobies. So,
at least it's got that going for it.
I can't take this game seriously. It's very hard for me to go. Look, she keeps going on about.
Do you think that was kind of their intent, though? Maybe they made it so over the top because they wanted
pervs.
It to be comical.
Pervs. Maybe they was in their offices going, "This is hilarious." But if that's the type of people they are, then they're not my type of people. I just didn't like it. I just really thought that it's just, you know, same mistakes that Japanese developers make. You know, like, can't tell a story. They're really poor. I mean, not all of them, obviously, but like they're just too over the top, too obvious with what's going on. And I don't know. Like, I mean, when I say obvious, it's like they ram it in your face of what's going on. They tell you, then tell you again, then tell you again, and it's all complicated in the sense that, like, none of it makes any sense. Like, mantra power and gods of this and gods of that. I'm like, what the hell is this about? No one cares. So it's hard. It was hard for me to like it. I've also started Medal of Honor Warfighter. This is the new Medal of Honor game made by Danger Close. They made the previous Medal of Honor game, only the single player. But now they've made the single player and the multiplayer, and it's made on the Frostbite engine. I played a few levels of it.
Were you able to stay away from the reviews before you got into it? Or
I have no idea what the reviews are.
Okay. I won't say anything. I don't want to taint your opinion one way or another.
Well, my opinion is, so far, not too shabby. I had to install a 1.2 gig texture pack thing.
What the hell is a gigawatt?
Exactly. And so I installed that. It's not bad. I mean, it's technically it doesn't look great, I don't think. It definitely shows its age. Like, the consoles are showing their age, rather. I think now.
Well, now, so here's an interesting thing. I mean, have you played Battlefield 3 recently?
Not recently, no.
Okay. Because, I mean, Battlefield 3, to me, still looks exceptional. Still looks fantastic.
Hmm.
And this game's made on the same engine, yet, from what I understand, and in what you're saying also kind of makes me think, you know, it's not living up to the same level of Battlefield 3.
No, I mean, it does feel kind of like a Battlefield game. To be honest, like, it's not very long. I've heard it's not very long. I've heard like it's about 5 hours. My friend has already finished it.
Right.
Like, the levels that I've played so far have been quite interesting. Like, you have to kind of go through a cave and with a drone and shoot stuff up, and there's a sniper. It's very varied early on, you know what I mean? It, from moment to moment to moment, it seems to kind of shake it up a little bit. And I just finished, like, a driving section, first-person driving section, which was a little bit long and a little bit tedious. But there's no way I'm going to sit here and say it's awful. It's not awful. I think it's a decent first-person shooter. The problem is, it's another first-person shooter, and it's that argument of like a stalemate genre, really, that only the big boys can do it justice now. It's definitely not up there with like the first-person shooters like Black Ops 2. It's not up there with that. It's not even up there with Battlefield. It's a decent first-person shooter. It's a decent effort, and I believe it sold pretty well, especially here in the UK. I know it's number one in the UK, so it's going to make some money before Blops comes out. So I think, you know, it's worth it. It's fun for people who just want to jump in and shoot stuff. I haven't tried the multiplayer at all, but, you know, not too bad.
I know Rogue Spear from the Gate community was super excited about this game after the beta. He was definitely all in for it. Felt it did a lot correct and the feel and the way the guns all handled.
Yeah, they have at least lean mechanic now in the single mm-hmm. player game, where you press normally in a first person shooter you press left trigger and then you aim down your sights, which is what you do in this game as well. But if you press left bumper and you'll aim down your sights, but when you move with the left stick, you won't, you know, strafe left and right. You'll peek over the top of a bit of cover or lean left and right, and it's better than other, you know, some of these other first person shooters that try and do this like first person getting to cover, peeking over the cover technique. GoldenEye Reloaded actually tried this, didn't really work. I'd say
Killzone had it.
Killzone had it.
Killzone 2, 3?
Yeah, 2 definitely had it. I haven't played 3. And out of all of those different games that try this, I think this one works the best.
Okay.
Just like the kind of peeking over, you can just peek over very slightly and put your head back down again. And it works. And I feel like I use it a lot. So it's a very slight, tiny little extra, like added element to the first person like mechanics that we're all used to. But it's enough to kind of like change the moment to moment what you're doing all the while. I thought it was good. I think it's a decent game. I'm going to forget about it as soon as I finish it, to be honest. I know I am. What are the reviews been saying? I'm interested now.
Well, I mean, it's gotten pretty slammed.
Really?
And some would say maybe unfairly. I think the press was pretty put off by the fact that EA would not send out any pre-release copy for review.
That's not a good sign.
Yeah, it's never a good sign. No. So everybody was already kind of on edge with that.
The game's going to be amazing, which only GTA usually does that. GTA is the one of the very few developers that just don't send it out.
So they had that kind of against them, and then I know that the day one patch, you know, that was necessary to basically, I guess they had a huge patch for day one, and they said that they didn't want people reviewing it before they got the patch. So, you know, these are all things that were kind of tainting it a little bit. But then the only other thing that's sticking out of my head and some of the reviews that I read, I know that there were a lot of complaints about the enemy and squad AI. And one of the things was your squad AI, because the characters actually, like, they take up physical space in the game. So you can't ghost through one of your squad mates. You guys, you know, you bump into him, he has to get out of the way, or you have to get out of the way. But the squad AI is all on very pre-scripted AI routines where they come. Let's say you're going into a room, all your squad AI have predetermined spots where they're going to go.
They're going to go there.
And if you had perchance maybe you beat them into the room and you go to cover where one of them's supposed to go,
knock you
they
out.
Literally will push you out of cover.
Yeah. I've seen that happen.
It's the home front syndrome.
Yeah. So
Call of Duty have done that. World at War was notorious for that. Yeah. But they learned their lesson, I suppose.
Yeah, I will say the multiplayer seems to be getting some praise, and so I'm very curious to hear what you have to say about that when you get a chance to play it.
Yeah. I will get around to it. I haven't really. The thing is, I suppose, I haven't come across that problem is because the levels that I've played have been very scripted. I can only think of two instances, really, where I was actually going along with the squad and they was moving up. And I mean, most of it, it was just kind of like pretty quick or driving or sniping and stuff. I don't know. So I haven't come across those problems yet. But I have come across those sort of problems before in a Call of Duty. And it doesn't really bother me too much. But
maybe it got patched. Who knows?
Maybe.
We'll find out. All right.
Halo Wars.
Halo Wars. Yeah. Still I saw you Halo playing, Wars. I believe, today. Halo Wars, by the way.
Yep. Love it.
I didn't get an invite, by the way.
No, yeah. No, sorry. We Matt and I, who you've played with
right,
now.
Right. I'm feeling shunned.
This was amazing, right? We had a 2-hour epic battle against two people that had top rank.
Wow.
Right. They were the highest rank. And to get the highest rank, people, on Halo Wars, you have to put in so many hours. So, we knew we was up against it. We had 8 bases. They had, between us, they had 2, and they still beat us.
What?
I know. The map that we was on, they had a they had 2 bases where you needed to bridge to get to them.
Okay.
Right, and then, like, they had this tactic down where we couldn't get them. And then when we finished and we lost, they came into our party, like Matt inviting them in.
Right.
Like, he sent a message to Matt saying, you know, well done, guys. People don't usually last that long, right?
Right.
And we sent him an invite to the party and we just went, how did we lose? Why did we lose that? And he's like, right. You won't win that. You won't win that scenario. The only way to win it is to get both of me and Matt get 6 of this one particular aircraft called the Vulture, which is like a huge ship. So it's very difficult to beat that scenario. And all it was is they won it an experience. They won it because they knew that map. And it was weird because we knew that they rushed those 2 bases.
Couldn't figure out why they weren't taking anything else.
But they didn't rush the other 2 bases that was closer to them, right? And Matt was like saying, they haven't got the other bases. And I was like, well, let's just get them. And we had 8 bases. We still lost. They absolutely caned us. And it's just experience. So that game is so complex. And because I work with Matt, right? Sometimes we'll stop our work and draw out plans of how we're gonna win. We'll go, what tactic do we need to adopt now? Right, so tonight we're gonna try this, and it's so good. It's such a good game, and it stops me from playing other games. It's so good.
No, it is a good game.
I love
it. Can't argue with that.
Love it.
Okay, are you done now?
That's me done. Sorry.
Cool. Let's talk some new releases. All right, so new releases. Guys, the holiday rush is definitely upon us.
Wow.
I say that because there's actual games on the Wii to talk about. Yeah. Lego, The Lord of the Rings, out this week on the retail shelves. NBA 2K13 comes out to the Wii. Transformers Prime, the game, coming out to the old Wii. I believe that's a slightly different game than the other Transformers game. Wreck-It Ralph, coming out to the old Wii. And what holiday would be complete without WWE 13? Yeah. Everybody needs a little wrestling. On the 3DS, lots of stuff. Here we go. And a lot of these are both on the 3DS and DS, so I'm not going to cover the duplicates. But we've got Bratz Fashion Boutique, Hello Kitty Picnic, Lala Loopsy Carnival of Friends. I guess that's the way you say that. Lord of the Rings, Moshi Monsters Moshlings Theme Park.
Yep.
Myst, Thundercats. Ho! Transformers Prime the game. Yes, I just did that. The Trash Pack, Winx Club Magic Fairy Party. Yeah. I'm not making this up, kids. I'm not making it up. And last but not least, Wreck-It Ralph. So lots of stuff coming out right now. Moving over to the PS Triple, Assassin's Creed 3 comes out to the retail shelves this week. Probably sitting at my door right now.
Bam!
Lego.
I saw something today about Dodgy. I saw a front cover of a magazine, and the headline on it was Shock Score. Was it worth the hype?
Say it ain't so.
Whoa, there has been a lot of hype for Assassin's Creed. Sorry.
There has been.
And that's an official publication as well.
An official publication, interesting. All right. Well, we'll know more next week. That's for sure. Moving on. Lego The Lord of the Rings. NBA 2K13. Need for Speed Most Wanted coming out this week. So car lovers getting back-to-back weeks of good car games. Sports Champions 2. Toy Story Mania. WWE 13. And Zone of Enders HD Collection. All hitting the retail shelves. On the PSN, you can pick up Assassin's Creed 3 for full retail price. Same thing with Need for Speed Most Wanted. Nabunga's... Wow, this is going to be tough here. Nabunaga's Emission Rise to Power. Maybe that's not been written down properly, but yeah, that's the way it came across to me. Akami HD coming out this week on PSN. Sports Champions 2. Toy Story Mania and Twisted Metal all out on PSN. No demos to speak of at the moment, but DLC front, Darksiders 2, Abyssal Forge, and Dead or Alive 5, Costume Pack 3, Max Payne 3, Hostage Negotiation Pack,
ooh,
and Sleeping Dogs. Yeah, Max Payne 3, gotta love that. Sleeping Dogs gets a DLC, Nightmare in North Point. So that's out on PS3 and the PS Vita, Assassin's Creed 3 Liberation, the Vita version, and Lego The Lord of the Rings, NBA 2K13, Need for Speed Most Wanted, Ragnarok Odyssey, and Smart As, I believe Smart As a fifth grader, I could be wrong. Assassin's Creed 3 Liberation comes out to the PSN, downloadable titles for the Vita. You can also download Lego The Lord of the Rings, Need for Speed The Most Wanted, Ragnarok Odyssey, and Smart As. Demos. A couple different demos. Airport Hero Haneda and NBA 2K13 and Smart As. All coming out on PSN for free as demos for the Vita. Moving over to the Xbox 360 this week. Assassin's Creed 3, Lego Lord of the Rings, Marvel Avengers Battle for Earth. I believe that's a Kinect title, if I'm not mistaken. NBA 2K13, Need for Speed Most Wanted, Nike Plus Kinect Training,
yay,
Toy Story Mania, WWE 13, and Zone of Enders HD Collection, all hitting retail shelves this week. Xbox Live Arcade this week, Pool Nation, Pool Nation, whatever that might be, and PID.
Guessing a pool game.
I'm guessing. Otherwise, it's a swimming pool simulator.
They don't have enough DLC pool games in the, on the arcade.
No. And there's not enough swimming games either. DLC this week, Mike. Darksiders,
yep,
2,
yep.
Abyssal Forge, Dead or Alive 5, Costume Pack 3, Max Payne 3, Hostage Negotiation Pack, and Sleeping Dogs, Nightmare in North Point. And probably should talk about PC gaming because I realized last week
it's a thing.
You know what? It is a thing, and a lot of people are playing more PC games, Mr. Matthew. So let's talk some releases on PC. Here we go. 007 Legends comes out this week. Cargo Commander comes out this week. Condemned Criminal Origins comes out this week. Darksiders 2 Abyssal Forge. Guns of Icarus Online. Lego The Lord of the Rings. Max Payne 3 The Hostage Negotiation Pack. Natural Selection 2 comes out this week. NBA 2K13, Need for Speed Most Wanted, Orcs Must Die 2, Are We There Yet? I believe that's some DLC. Painkiller, Hell and Damnation, and PID, along with Primal Carnage, and last but not least, Sleeping Dogs, the Nightmare in North Point DLC. Out on your PC markets, most likely Steam. And that does it for new releases.
Bam.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Okay, so we do have a short news quiz, guys.
Short? How short, yes, Greg?
Short as in three questions. So you each get one. Here we go.
All right.
I'm going to give this question to Mr. Matthew. Mr. Matthew, are you ready, sir?
Sure.
Sure. Chris, how much did Disney pay to buy Lucasfilm Limited?
$4.05 billion.
Bam! Done. Didn't even get the multiple choice off.
Like, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, I saw that in the news today. That's crazy. Apparently, they're promising more Star Wars movies, which could be good.
Yeah.
Could be very bad.
Exactly. But it is a huge purchase for Disney. And
what happened? Sorry, what happened?
So I mean, Disney has bought Lucasfilm Limited.
Shit.
And paid $4.05 billion to buy it. In the purchase, they get everything. So Star Wars, Indiana Jones, I mean, anything George Lucas touched is now Disney property. This also includes, and this is probably the kicker, Industrial Light and Magic, Skywalker Sound, and LucasArts are all included in the purchase price. So Disney just became a huge special effects house on top of everything.
George Lucas just got rich.
Even more rich. Let's fix that. Yeah.
What a bastard.
Yeah. So that
maybe they'll make decent Star Wars films now.
Yeah, maybe.
Who knows?
It's Megaton News.
That is big news.
Yeah. Mike.
Hello.
What game did Take-Two officially announce today? Is it A, GTA 5, B, Red Dead Persecution, or C, Prey 2 Alien Hunter?
It's got to be... No, GTA 5's already been announced. I say Prey 2.
Well, it was actually officially announced today, Mike. Yeah. Take-Two Interactive just officially announced Grand Theft Auto 5 and a release window of spring 2013.
I predicted it.
Official, yes.
Predicted it a year ago. Shit.
Yeah. So start your hype meter, Mike.
How can that be official though? Because they had an announcement trailer for it a year ago.
They came out with the official release window.
Date.
A little better, but yes. So, but it's a window. It's not an actual date. But spring 2013. It kind of falls right in line with what Take Two does. They release their Grand Theft and Red Dead games out.
The game companies take note. Do not be releasing games.
Yes.
No. Yeah. Don't release a game in May. Just do not bother, because that's when it'll be out.
Yeah. All right. Last question goes to you, Mr. Primrose. Rich.
Yes.
We'll be able to take part in Nintendo's new eShop promotion. Is it A, Wii U Deluxe Set owners, B, 3DS owners, or C, everyone who has access to the eShop?
I'd say everybody that has access to the eShop is a safe bet, because if it's anything like when the 3DS first came out, the Wii U won't have access to the eShop when it first comes out anyway.
Well, that's
my safe guess.
It's a safe guess, but it's not a good guess. It's actually the Wii U Deluxe owners. So basically, if you are a purchaser of the Wii U Deluxe set, and this is the set that gives you the extra controller, it comes in black, blah, 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 you're going to basically be able to take part in this promotion, which basically is this. All games and DLC purchased from the Wii U eShop will return return 10% of their value in points. So basically, you get 599 points for a $59.99 game. Every 500 points accrued will be redeemable for a code for $5 in credit, usable on either the Wii U or the 3DS eShop. But it's just the Wii U Deluxe set owners that will have this promotion. And the promotion will begin accounting purchases on the Wii U November 18th, and it'll run through December 31st, 2014. So there you go.
There you go.
Can I buy one of these Wii U's yet? Are they on the shelves? Because there's no advertising whatsoever for them. I'm not seeing anything.
They're coming, Rich. They're coming. All right, that does it for the news quiz, guys. Well done by all. Let's take a show break, and when we come back out of it, tackle that riveting new question from last week.
Back to mail.
All right, we are back from the break, and let's talk question of the week. Mike, riveting, Blops 2, yes or no, and why?
No, I know, challenging questions, that's what I like.
Ironically, it got some quick responses. Now, unfortunately, we didn't get the question out to the community until a little bit too late.
You mean I didn't get the question out to the community ever?
I'll take responsibility. I didn't do it either. I was back from Chicago in time to have done it.
Fair enough.
And people pounced on the question pretty quickly. But let's start around the room. I know for myself, I was not inclined to do Black Ops 2 until I saw Microsoft Store had it back up on their special deal. And so I pre-ordered it, and I'll get 1,600 points back from them, as well as a $10 credit towards a future purchase. So I thought...
Is that only in America again?
Probably. Right. Yeah. I mean, you could check the Microsoft Store out there. I don't know if they have that promotion going on or not. But to me, that made it a lot easier for me to pre-order the game and pick it up. Had it been a $60 game, I don't know that I would have. I may have held off. Mm-hmm. What about you, Mike?
Yeah, I'll be picking it up. Okay. I don't know why. I've bought every Call of Duty that's ever come out. I've not been impressed by them. The last two Modern Warfares. Black Ops was probably my favourite recent Call of Duty game in the last 3 years. So, yeah, I'm willing to give them another go. I think Treyarch have overtaken Infinity Ward as the best developer for the job. So I'm curious to see what they do next.
You can make the argument that it really isn't the real Infinity Ward.
You could. I just think that there was kind of like the underdogs when Black Ops came out. Now they're the most favoured one, and I just think they've changed the Call of Duty formula more than anyone else.
Yeah.
I feel like Modern Warfare kind of really plays it safe. Yeah. Whereas the Treyarch boys seem to kind of take a few risks. They introduced the zombies, they introduced the kind of credit system, they introduced drones and all sorts of stuff. So I think they take the bigger gambles in the franchise.
On the sidetrack, has anybody seen the Guy Ritchie advert?
I saw the new live-action trailer advert. I don't know if that's the same thing.
Yeah, the one that keeps doing slow-mo where there's grenades going through the air and stuff.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And Robert Downey's in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Guy Ritchie did that.
Okay.
Good.
Their advertisements have been fairly entertaining.
Their last one, though, for Blops was good.
Yeah.
And it was a lot. I think Kobe something was in it. The basketball guy.
Kobe Bryant.
There you go, that guy. He was in it. That was a good advert, too. So, yeah.
Rich, what about you? Are you picking up Blops 2?
I think this time around, I might be doing a midnight stint down to Tesco's because I'm getting quite up for it.
Yeah.
The last one, Modern Warfare 3, I jumped in at Christmas. And I felt like I'd missed the boat. And I've missed having a community game for, just getting together and shooting up on. So I know there's going to be definitely loads of people on it. So I think I might get in early on this one. I feel the need to shoot stuff because I got rid of him in Battlefield 3 quite a while ago now. And Ghost Recon never really... I had good times on it, but... Right. Didn't take off as much as I thought it might have. So, yeah, I think I'm going to jump in. And,
okay.
Yeah, the multiplayer looks quite good from what I saw at Eurogamer with that tournament that was on and everything.
Yeah, the GamerCast stuff is pretty exciting, if you ask me. I think we could have a lot of fun with that in the community.
Yeah, definitely.
Mr. Matthew, will you be picking up Blops 2 and cursing and enjoying yourself all in the same breath?
No. I recognize the Call of Duty franchise has done a lot of great things, but I haven't really liked any of them since Call of Duty 4. So, you know, this is now like the fifth one since then, and I've saved $300.
Okay. Well, something tells me, Mr. Matthew, I think you're probably more in the majority than we are, even though it would appear, at least on the surface, that, hey, if, you know, a lot of people are excited about it. I mean, hey, three of us are. Let's dive into some of the responses and see just where this takes us. I know Gate had a lot, or a few, I should say, not a lot. We had quite a few Twitter responses. But Chris, start us off. Gate.
Okay, so the gaming fidelity, Steve O'Matic starts us off with, no thank you. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me annually, shame on me. I had to read that twice. I thought he said something naughty. Burnt on the same formula and gameplay. Time to move on and find new IPs to enjoy. Double star. Disclaimer. Please note this does not mean I will not be a total hypocrite and purchase the game if it goes on sale or due to peer pressure. Let's see. Catboy says, yay for me. Hoping for a Time Splitters approach with futuristic stuff. Spock, in echoing with Steve-O, says, times two. If the kill cams continue to lie, well, damn it, it really ticks me off. Okay. So Spock agrees with Steve-O.
Right.
Jamesy76 says, Assassin's Creed 3, Borderlands 2, Dishonored Hitman, add a push, Medal of Honor Warfighter. Not going to have time for Blops 2. So no for him. And ParsnipNose3000 says, absolutely, picking up two copies, one each for my wife and I. We've bought every Call of Duty since Call of Duty 2, and I don't see that changing. So there you go, people. Keep the pension fund at Activision funded.
Parsnip was quite big on Modern Warfare 3, and I'd never seen him before that much. Yeah.
Now, the Modern Warfare, the whole Call of Duty series is very popular with the Gate community.
It seems like it's split. It's Battlefield 3 and Modern Warfare 3 there's a pretty big even split right down the middle in terms of fever and, I don't know. What about Twitter? Did we get any tweets?
Twitter?
To Primrose, yes.
We did, yeah. We had Master Zulu, Podbean. Do you want to advertise on this podcast? Actually, 1985.
Lol.
Fuck. Nearly forgot to name the podcast. Lol's yeah. Sold it.
So let me just address this real fast. And this goes back. I believe there's going to be one more comment about this. So at the beginning of last week's podcast, a mysterious advertisement for Podbean showed up, and I know it actually messed up a couple of different people's feeds. Apparently, their I guess iTunes player or their MP3 player was only seeing the first 20 seconds that advert and thinking that was the entire podcast. So, hopefully, when you're hearing this, we have fixed this situation and have turned off that advertising. I'm not sure how it got on there. We did not put it on there. We did not specifically request to have any advertising put on there. So I hope this is not a continuing problem that Podbean is just now as inserting advertisement into the podcast. I don't think that's the case. I think it's just something that got flipped. Should be fixed. Continue on, Rich.
Yeah, I was oblivious to all of that because we weren't even here. Anyway, John Mouse. Whatchamacallim. He said, where was at Bongo the Sane on the last podcast? A? Chinny? 1985? A?
Yeah.
Gaming fact kind of got left off.
I was human.
Yeah. So it'll be on this show. In just a little bit, you'll hear the gaming fact from last week. Bongo gave me permission to use it for this week. So there you go.
Okay. And then PG Tip 77, he put, no, not day one anyway. One big reason, Halo 4. Yeah. Smiley face.
Exactly. These are all responses now to our question, by the way.
Yes, these are question responses. And then following that, Phil Fee said what he said. So he's agreeing and he's hello freeing. Master Zulu came back again. No way, didn't enjoy the first Black Ops all that much. May pick it up when there's nothing else to play. But then you won't be ranked up, baby. Come on. Get in early. Double XP on the first weekend of your pre-order. And then GamerGirl27 said, maybe I'm still undecided on Blops 2. I'll wait and see what other friends say when it's out. Have enough in the pile of shame to keep busy. So that's, yeah, that's a response. Oh, I've got one more response as well. Okay. Because this never got put in here. This is a direct response to Greg from the other week when he completely slated Marty Greasy Fish Lips PS3 for sale, £160. Remember that?
Yeah. That, anyway, crappy, that crappy deal he was trying to get you to buy. Yeah, we know how that
works. Well, Marty actually went and put it on eBay, and he ended up getting £210 for it. And he put, so get in there, and OC Murphy's Law, suck that biatch, LOL.
See, I helped him out because he ended up putting some additional games into it. Because remember, he came back and said, I just found a, you know, like 13 additional games. He threw that in there. So, you know, it became, the value increased. And that was all because of my helpful feedback.
Yeah.
All right. Let's pose this question for next week. Have you, I guess maybe the best way to put it is, are you interested in all in the Halo Forward Unto Dawn miniseries? Have you been watching it? What are your impressions? So, throw that out there.
Forward Unto Dawn, that one, right?
Forward Unto Dawn.
Oh, we discussed this, didn't we, Greg? We've
discussed this. You had watched the first episode.
There's I was a not great impressed.
Article, there's a great article by John Mouse over on the Play Vault that specifically talks about he watched the first episode. Very different opinion than yours, Mike. And I actually think you should read it, Mike, because I think you would... It's a well-written article.
I'd rather watch H+.
I would rather you not talk. Anyway. No, so Forward Unto Dawn, are you watching it? What do you think? And if you're not watching it, why not? Is it just not interest to you? You know, give us your thoughts on it. So that will be a question for next week. And right about now is when we play our little trailer and talk about stuff.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Wheels are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on now.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, VGHub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.
What is happening? Let's see. Well, as Rich mentioned earlier, the Minecraft World version 3 up and running. You can fill in your little plot of land, but don't dawdle about with anyone else's, else you'll be brought out to the village square and caned. That's what they'll do. They'll bring you to the village square and cane you.
You know, I think they need to create a caning post right in the middle. That would be awesome.
It would be good. Friday Night Racing has been retired. So if you want to do some more racing, start up a new event. G4TE F1 2012 championship begins this coming Saturday. The veteran gamers on Sunday at 6 p.m. Gross Mountain Time are playing Gears of War 3. Happy birthday this week to Deluxe, and welcome to the new members, John Watson 103 and Twister 65, who reminds you to check in on the forums every now and again. This week's victories achieved. Congratulations to Kev67 for achieving victory over Dishonored. And to me, that's me, CP Matthew, for achieving victory over XCOM. Remember that you have until, well, yesterday when you're listening to this, to get your entries in for the first drawing, but we'll be doing one every quarter.
Ta-da. Rules.
Ta-da. Must follow at g4te.com on Twitter. Spell the dot. Tweet a picture of the end game credits with your mug to the aforementioned Twitter account. This week's community spotlight. Parsnip has to get his grill fixed, but he's shouting out Ginge Ninge for doing a bang-up job running the Forza Horizons car club. Yes. Yeah. And we have some gaming facts.
Yes, we do have some gaming facts, which we will start in just a second, but I just wanted to throw this out there. I had thought for a second that I might try to do a Parsnip impersonation, and the realization was no. Far better read by Mr. Matthew.
Not going to happen, is it?
I'm very sorry. I couldn't get a gaming fact in this week, but apparently my grill is all boggered.
No? It's all right.
It's not bad. All right, let's listen to Mr. Bongo the Sane.
Hello there, it's Bongo the Sane here, and this is a very special gaming fact this week. This week, I want to say a quick thank you to all of the people that helped us during the Extra Life 24-hour gaming marathon. This is for you. On behalf of Greg DeLisi, Daniel Bedeker, Denise Garcia, Richard Primrose, Sherry Carr, Matt Tremin, Alma Burkett, Tiffany Clem, Cindy DeLisi, Michelle Lee, Ray Gale, Kevin Knight, Denise Garcia, Beverly Ashburn, Wilma Gale, Frank Gale, Bernal Church, Debbie Kelva, Bill Crutzen, Richard Garsticki, Tom DeLisi, Will McGill, Elizabeth Varguez, Richard Webster, Beverly Deal, Troy Jenkins, Joanne Kirkpatrick, Christopher Matthew, and all the others that donated to Greg DeLisi. On behalf of Robin Tate, Joshua Tate, Daniel Bidkiller, Chris Williams, Greg DeLisi, Peter Marshall, Stuart Farler, Susan Lindenhall, Tim Schaefer, and many other anonymous donations, thank you. On behalf of Gary Felice, and forgive my pronunciations, Andrea Sobrash, Orson Wiggins, Janessa Valquez, Jara, Peter Wernischbach, Rick Pico Jr., Christine La Rosa, Kevin Kramer, Tony Pareto, Richard Primrose, Stacey Fabine, Lucas Binder, Jane Ellis Rouge, Nancy B., Fabian Ruturo, Deborah Bender, Thomas Bosso, Donald Wheatley, Tom Scarfo, Greg DeLisi, Russ Spatafora, Elizabeth Costello, Sean Grainer, Andrew Salika, Kimberly Woolitz, Denise Camille Gilesso, Patrick Jones, Douglas DeFelice, Kathy Daly, Alex and Alison Romero, Stephen Ellick, Richard Antoni Cici, Gary Felice, Shinka Hammond, Tara Fisher, Samson Business Solutions, Michelle Randazzo, Kim Woods, Stephen Zampella, and many other donations to Gary DeFelice. On behalf of John Conger II, David Whelan, Robert Smith, Jeremy Humberson, Dean Riley, Jeff Myers, Deborah Merklin, Lisa Conger, Theodore Merklin, Mike Upek, Karen O'Brien, Brandon Poole, Greg DeLisi, Simon Kempster, Brandon Foor, John Matika, Pamela Bowen, Kay Conger, Gary Lavore, Kim Woods, Gary Lavore, and many other donations. Thank you all. On behalf of David Brown, Daniel Bedkover, Thomas Minchin, Nancy Averbridge, Baz Cave, Greg DeLisi, Fran Crosby, Malina Brown, Phase 8 Studio, Kim Woods, Jonathan Wilson, and many others, thank you. On behalf of Chet Gavin, Sam Pruitt, Anne Wheatley, Randy and Aaron Maxwell Brown, Joseph Lancour, Greg DeLisi, Julia Gavin, Liz Chanuth, Sarah Clements, Steve Schutz, and many others, thank you for your donations. On behalf of Daniel Nutman, Multi Heat and Energy Systems Limited, Bobby Gooding, Jeremy Humberson, Brandon Ford, Wim Horenberg, John Conger II, Susan Lindenhall, Lee Sutton, Dawn Lee, Claire Sigary, Gary Lavore, Zapot Incorporated, Kim Woods, Gary Lavore, Joseph Haynes, William Horenberg, Liz Kendall, thank you. On behalf of Dean Riley, James Gard, Tracy Lambert, Gareth Thompson, Scott Spencer, Kim Woods, Mike Higgins, Greg DeLisi, Linda Lambert, Penny Lamb, Joanne Kirkpatrick, Ian Moore, and many more, thank you very, very much. On behalf of Mark Wright, Daniel Bedcock, Brian Tomlinson, Greg DeLisi, Andrew Irving, Janet Brearsford, Steve Lee, Susan Lindenhall, Barbara Wright, Suzanne Hay, Kim Woods, Christopher Matthew, and many more. On behalf of Nick Old, Steve Thacker, Kim Woods, Terry Richardson, Greg DeLisi, Scott Duncan, David Coates, and many other anonymous and very helpful donations. On behalf of Scott McGregor, Chelsea Vanderham, Carol Smith, Ria and Kerry M, Jeremy Humberson, Greg DeLisi, Brandon Ford, Joseph King, thank you. On behalf of Luis Raimondo, Raymond Grassini, Sabrina Stevens, Kyle Griffin, Hector Garcia, Daniel Vaughan, Trevor Parrish, and many more, thank you. On behalf of Ryan Truman, Jeremy Thorpe, Christian Thorpe, Nicola and Nicholas, Gary Lavore, Greg DeLisi, and many more, thank you. On behalf of Bobby Gooding, John Lay, Jeremy Humberson, Peter Gibbons, Wim Hornberg, Mike Chin, Greg DeLisi, John Lay, Kim Woods, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. All of your donations helped us get to a mammoth total this year of $7,685.43. This money will help sick kids in hospital, and we very much appreciate your donations. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. Gongo.
All right, so we are now caught up with our gaming facts. Thank you, Bongo, for sending that in 2 weeks ago. And, one thing I do want to say, Indies Writer Block, I believe it's still going strong. People are still submitting stuff in, wanting to write. If you want to write, you want to get your thoughts down on paper, whether it be gaming food recipes, gaming reviews, whatever the case may be. Touch base with Jay Schumacher. You can email him at iwb@g4te.com, or you can always send him a tweet. He's looking over the Twitter for it at @iwblock, and get your stuff read.
Yeah,
it's cool.
I need to check that out. I need to look at it.
There's some good stuff up there. All right. It's time to shut the show down, mostly because
I forever can't
talk anymore. No, just for tonight. Emailing the show, Mike.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it, you're going to send us an email. What would you recommend?
What would you do that for?
Some people do it once in a while. Some like to complain. Some like to talk about stuff.
Podcasts about... He sent a lot of VG trailer that, didn't he? The email for the show is ocpodcast@gmail.com. That's ocpodcast@gmail.com. ocpodcast@gmail.com. We need to make a song out of it so it stays in people's heads so they never have to know. Ask what it is.
Maybe we could put that on like an outro trailer or something.
Yeah, that sounds like work. I'm not gonna
You think we would just automate all of this by now?
Yeah. Yeah, we should make a clip of this.
Yeah, Rich.
Yeah.
You do the whole tweeting thing, right?
I do.
You pretty much run the Twitter account.
I've literally just followed IW Block.
Oh, good. Yeah. See? Oh, yeah. There we go. Yeah, you pretty much run it, although your account gets hijacked once in a while by myself.
Yes.
Yeah. And so you never know who you're actually talking to, so just, beware. But
I sign off on things that are inoffensive, but if they're offensive, I leave them hanging, just so Greg might get the blame.
but if they want to send a Twitter to us...
Yes, it would be @OC_podcast with an at the front.
The @ is key. And last but certainly not least, Mr. Matthew, if you were ever like at a point where you didn't have internet service, but you did have a working phone line and you wanted to get your voice heard, could you do that with our show? And if so, how would you go about doing that?
You could do that. The fastest way would be to dial 626-506-2763. Or if you're more technically inclined, you could record an MP3 and send it to us via the email that was previously read. Yes. That
too. Yes.
Speak English good.
Brilliant.
And if you've been offended by my impersonations of various people of different nationalities, you can tell us about it in an iTunes review. Yep.
Nicely played. Yes. iTunes reviews. There are still Zune reviews, Mike Chin. They do exist. We have like 3, I think.
Sure they do.
All right, let's pass it around the table. Rich, why don't you go first?
I would just like to shout out everybody that did the Extra Life. Not just because it's for just a good cause, but because I got rolled up in the whole shenanigans of it on the Friday and started spending lots of money that I don't have and giving giant bomb a load of shit, and it was very enjoyable. Well done everybody that had a blast on that, and real Defoe, I came through for you, man. Don't leave me hanging in Gears of War, okay? Who else can I give a shout? I'm going to shout out Mike.
Hello.
Mr. Mike Chin. Yeah. Excellent video, although you should have fucking blurred my face out because I did not grant any permission to be to be published on the Veteran Gamers internet site. Thank you very much.
Public place, mate. Public place. Beer. Doesn't matter.
Send a cease and desist, Rich.
No, yeah, public place. I can film where I want in a public place. It's your fault.
I got my wife saying, so you just went there and drank beer then, did you? was in a bar.
Yeah.
So thanks to Mike for that. And also thanks to Mike for liking Breaking Bad, because I'm well impressed that he's into Breaking Bad.
Wow.
Yeah. And shout out to all the other guys on here, because I've missed it. It's been a couple of weeks.
I know.
Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah. What about you then, Greg? You got out to save yourself?
I got quite a bit to say. I'm going to do a big shout out to the Extra Life team. And I'm literally going to name off the whole team. So here we go. Nick Ould, David Brown, John Conger II, Gary DeFelice, myself, Chet Gavlin, Bobby Gooding, Daniel Knappman, Scott McGregor, Luis Raimundo, sorry, Luis, Dean Riley, Robin Tate, Ryan Truman, and Mark Wright. And I got to say props to everybody, because everybody actually raised money. So many teams out there where I saw like people signing up for it, not raising a penny, and everybody on this team raised at least $100 or more. So huge effort, and good on all of them. And with that, I say, Mr. Matthew, shout it out.
We shouted out the VG Hub team last week, but well done again, since you're here now, Greg. And just a shout out in general to everyone in the Northeast. I understand that Mr. Gary DeFelice is without power, but is able to connect to cell phone data and was able to check in on the Lousy 8 Gaming website to let everyone know that he is alive and well, but in the dark. So if you're in the Northeast and you're without power, find something to burn, stay warm, eat your neighbors, whatever it takes.
the apocalypse is upon you.
The apocalypse is upon you.
You knew this day would come.
Yeah, if you haven't been prepared, it's your own damn fault.
Hey, it's 2012, people. You should have been prepared.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 2 months to go. That's it. So, Mike?
Yo. Yes, I'd like to shout out iPete for supplying me. He sold me a game capture device. I mentioned it on the show last week. So, thanks to him for thinking of me when he was selling it. I'd like to shout out Breaking Bad, because it is by far one of the best shows I've ever seen in my life, ever. I would like to shout out Richard Primrose for pointing Breaking Bad in my direction. And I'd like to shout out GTA, because it's fucking coming out. And also, the box art has been revealed because of some guy in Brighton leaked some screenshots of the box art. So, yeah, GTA 5, it's going to happen. Gonna happen. The hype train is coming for GTA. Like, after Christmas, I'm just gonna be like, GTA, GTA, GTA.
Speaking of the hype train, we're done.
Yay!
Getting hot under this cover. See me sweating my nuts off before the end of this.
So have you got a towel over your head right now?
I've got a dining table cloth.
So hang on, let's paint the picture. Where are you sitting down? Are you lying down? What are you doing?
I'm sitting down at the dining table.
Yep.
With the dining table cloth over the top, and I've now just wrapped it around the back of the laptop.
Yeah.
Tucked it underneath the base of the laptop, so I've made myself like a mini Bedouin tent.
Right.
And I'm so
someone walked in, they would see a man yeah. with a dining room cover over their heads around a laptop.
Hold on. Right now, Mike, I'm just going to take a picture and text it to you.
Okay.
Because I just said that.
Twit pick. Nice, Rich. It is an odd picture, though, because you can't quite make out, you know, is that the back of your head and that's, like, draped over going towards your computer? Or is it...
Yeah, that's my head at the back. On the left.
Ass, it also could be your ass up in the air.
It could be.
I thought the cyber discs were bad.
Oh, see, I didn't think those were too bad, but the freaking Sectapod, man.
Well, the cyber discs weren't bad as long as you got them within, you know, kind of the first few rounds. But once they started getting close and lobbing stuff at you, they could be
nerds.
Yes, exactly.
Right. You're on a podcast about video games, and
so,
you're calling
so
nerds.
You nerd.
Ass pick. Wait, that was... Is that your ass? Seriously? It looks like your head still.